Good afternoon, and welcome to the Narrow Path radio broadcast. My name is Steve Gregg, and we're live for an hour each weekday afternoon. We have an open phone line. You can call in if you want to ask questions about the Bible or the Christian faith. We'll talk about those. You can call in if you want to express an opinion different from the host. We'll talk about that, too. And you can do so by calling this number, 844-484-5737. That's 844-484-5737. I want to remind our Las Vegas listeners that later this month, I will be in Las Vegas speaking in a couple of places. And that's going to be on the 26th, I think, of this month. In any case, it's the last weekend of August. And then I'll be in Oregon, in the Salem area, the first weekend of September. Now, if you live in those areas and want to join us, you can find information about the meetings at our website, thenarrowpath.com, and you can join us there. If you live in those areas and want to set up a meeting, you have a venue that you'd like me to come and speak at around those times, feel free to get in touch with us, but don't wait too long to do so because we'll have to have some advance notice. So feel free to get in touch with us. My email address is at our website, thenarrowpath.com, at the bottom of the page. All right, we're going to I want to take a question that was written in. We have callers waiting online, and I don't want to keep them waiting too long, but I received this email today, and it has quite a few related questions, and I told the woman who wrote it, I wrote back and said, I don't have time to write this answer, but I'll try to take it on the air. So let me take it on the air real quickly. These questions have to do with dispensationalism. She says, hi, is dispensationalism biblical? Will you go to hell if you believe in dispensationalism? Do you have any studies on this topic? I can't find any on your website. Why do dispensationalists call all studies that are not dispensationalism doctrines of devils? What are doctrines of devils? If you're not actually preaching on devils, just a different part of the Bible or a different way, the Bible is being interpreted. Why do they call this doctrines of devils? So there's essentially a couple of questions here. Is dispensationalism biblical? This is certainly one of them. Will you go to hell if you believe in dispensationalism? Well, certainly not if it's biblical. Do I have any studies on the topic? And is it a doctrine of demons? Okay, first of all, I'm not a dispensationalist. I used to be. I was when I was younger, like very many other people who teach the Bible. I was taught dispensationalism. I absorbed it. I repeated it. I taught it myself. I believed it. I defended it. But that was 50 years ago, and actually I've done a lot of study on my own in the Bible without the dispensational eyeglasses on and found out that it's not what I would call a biblical doctrine. It's not even a very ancient doctrine. It rose up in the 19th century, which is pretty late in church history. Now, I do sometimes hear dispensationalists say that if you're not a dispensationalist like they are, that you're teaching doctrines of demons. Maybe, and in some cases, they say you're teaching a last days heresy. Well, actually, I'm not going to call their view a last days heresy, although it may be. I don't know. But it certainly is a recent doctrine. So, if there is a last days heresy, and if we're living in the last days, then dispensationalism might qualify since it deviated from the historic teaching of the church. To deny dispensationalism is not to embrace a last days doctrine. It is to embrace the historical doctrine of the church, and dispensationalism itself arose in the early 1800s and kind of became the most popular doctrine in the church. Is it a doctrine of demons or of devils? Well, I certainly disagree with it, and I think it can have a very negative impact on a person to believe it. However, the only time the Bible talks about doctrines of demons is in 1 Timothy 4:1, and Paul says, "Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons." Now you might say, "Well, if we're in the last days, this dispensationalism it arose in recent times, so maybe that's departure from the faith." Well, it may be in some sense, but it's not what Paul's talking about here, because he describes the doctrine of demons, saying, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared as with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving. So there's a certain asceticism he's talking about here, where people forbid marriage and where they command to abstain from certain foods. This obviously is not referring to dispensationalism. So even if dispensationalism is, we might say, a last days new doctrine, it might even be a last days false doctrine, it's not the doctrine that Paul refers to as the doctrine of demons, at least not in that passage. Now, is it possible that all false doctrines are doctrines of demons? Well, probably so. I mean, in a sense, the Bible says that Satan is a liar and he's the father of lies. The thing is that when Paul talks about people teaching doctrines of demons, he says that they're speaking lies in hypocrisy and their conscience is seared or cauterized, which means they're evil people and have no conscience. That certainly is not true of dispensationalists that I've known, nor of me when I was a dispensationalist. I wasn't speaking lies in hypocrisy, and my conscience wasn't seared. I was just convinced that this was the correct template for interpreting the scriptures. And I was convinced of that very sincerely by my teachers, who probably were very sincerely convinced of it by the teachers that taught them. This view has been around for a couple hundred years, and that being so, there's been several generations of teachers that have taught it, and therefore several generations of teachers that have learned it, and they've been fitted with these dispensational glasses so that that's how they see the scriptures. Now, I believe it's very helpful to remove those glasses and read the scripture without them and see what's really taught there, but on the other hand, those who have been given those glasses from a young age and have always read the scriptures through them are not necessarily being hypocritical or lying. They're just mistaken. And certainly all Christians, myself included, have got to assume that we are mistaken about some things. The things we're just mistaken about are not all the same things, and they're not even all of the same importance. I do believe that some of the mistakes of dispensationalism are fairly important issues, but I wouldn't say, as the writer of this question asked, will a person go to hell for believing in dispensationalism? I hardly think so. I personally think that some of the finest Christians I know either are or once were dispensationalists, and I don't believe they were hell-bound in any sense of the word. I believe they were sincerely mistaken, myself included, at the time. So, no, I would never consign, dispensationalism to the category of a demonic heresy that's going to lead people to hell. But I would say it could lead people to some wrong priorities, to be sure. Dispensationalism, for those who don't know what we're even talking about, is a doctrine that, among other things, places its primary focus in the end times, not on Christ, but on Israel. What's going on in Israel is their great focus. They believe that the prophecies of the Bible have said that Israel would become a nation again in the end times, shortly before Jesus comes back. Now, I can't find any Bible verse that says anything really like that, but they have a few verses from the Old Testament which mention nothing about end times and mention nothing about the Messiah, but they do mention God bringing his people back to Israel from their captivity in Babylon. And some people who actually are not very familiar with the prophets, apparently, and don't know much about the setting of those prophecies, have mistakenly thought those prophets were talking about the end times instead of the return of the exiles from Babylon 500 and some odd years before Christ. So it's a mistake that some people make. It's, to my mind, it comes out of ignorance, although certainly some dispensationalists, it'd be hard to describe them as ignorant people. They're very well educated, but you can be very well educated and still be wrong. And if you're wrong, let's hope that it is out of ignorance rather than out of a desire to deceive other people. I know that every time I've been wrong, and I have been many times, it's been out of ignorance, because I've never had it in my heart once to be a deceiver. I don't ever want to be a deceiver. The teachers will have the stricter judgment. So I grant all my fellow Bible teachers, even the ones who disagree with me, the charitable judgment that they are mistaken rather than, you know, deliberate deceivers. Do I have any teachings on dispensationalism? I would suggest you go to the website thenarrowpath.com, and there's no teachings there that are called, you know, examination of dispensationalism, though I probably should do a lecture like that. But there's a series called When Shall These Things Be? It's got, I think, 14 lectures in it. And there's another series called What Are We to Make of Israel? these two lecture series deal very directly with dispensationalism as a system and its specific claims, and I believe refutes it fairly decisively. So, again, at our website, thenarrowpath.com, under topical lectures, there's a series called When Shall These Things Be? And there's another series called What Are We to Make of Israel? Those would be where I'd look, or I'd direct you to look if you want to see some of the teaching at our website on the subject. Well, our lines are full. We need to go to the phone lines now and talk to, first of all, John from Michigan. John, welcome to The Narrow Path. Thanks for waiting.
Hello, Steve.
Hey.
I have a couple of important, what I believe are important questions. How do we know, or how do you go about determining whether a biblical passage should be interpreted literally or metaphorically?
Well, in most cases, common sense will tell you, though not every case. For example, when Jesus is called the Lamb, for example, we know that he's not literally a lamb. That's a metaphor. When he's called the Rock in 1 Corinthians 10, that's obviously a metaphor. Jesus isn't literally a stone. It's a metaphor. Likewise, whenever he's called anything that isn't literal, like when he said, "I'm the door," or "I'm the good shepherd of the sheep." He didn't actually shepherd sheep at all. Not literal sheep. Or when he said any number of things, "I'm the bread of life." Clearly he's not bread. So we see that that's metaphorical. Now, what's sometimes more difficult is knowing whether he's speaking literally or spiritually. Metaphors are pretty easy to know. A metaphor is when you describe something in terms that it isn't. But spiritualizing is something of a different challenge. And that is, for example, when you find passages in the Old Testament and they talk about Zion or Jerusalem or Israel. And in some cases, they're clearly talking about earthly Jerusalem and the earthly nation of Israel. However, it's clear from the way the New Testament is written and the way the New Testament writers quote from the Old Testament that they sometimes spiritualize that. For example, in Hebrews chapter 12, it says that we who are Christians have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, to the city of God, which he then calls the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are written in heaven. Now, the church then is being referred to as the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of God, and Mount Zion. So now it's the church isn't literally earthly Mount Zion or earthly Jerusalem or early, ethnic Israel. But there are a number of passages in the Old Testament that use those terms, and the New Testament writers quote them as if they are referring to the spiritual. For example, in Isaiah, I think it's chapter 28, maybe 28, 16. I'm just going from memory here. I may be off. It says that God will lay in Zion for a foundation a stone. Now, the New Testament writers, Peter and Paul, both quote this, and they say that Jesus is the stone, the foundation stone that God has laid in Zion. Now, Zion, literally Zion, is the Mount Zion where the city of Jerusalem was built in the Middle East. But Jesus didn't lay God didn't lay a foundation there in Jesus. Jesus is actually not a stone at all. He's not literally a foundation stone, but in the imagery he is. And what is he the foundation of? Well, he's not the foundation of a mountain in the Middle East. He's the foundation of the church. Paul said that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ.